Amen. Amen. We need to get it straight. Amen. Let's not get it twisted. Amen. God says it's about you being delivered from sin. I'm far more concerned about your soul than you are your physical condition. So he tells him that, Paul, I got to get you straightened out. And that's what John the Baptist did when he came. He says that I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Matthew 3:3. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. And what do you want to do? Make his path straight. Amen. Prepare the way of the Lord. Amen. We know that Adam Clark writes, as he was, this was a period when it was the practice of the Eastern monarchy, upon entering an expedition or a desert country, to send harbingers before them to prepare the passage and to pioneer, to open the path, and to level and to remove all impediments, to clear the way for the king. Have we got a witness? He said you have to prepare the way for Jesus Christ to come into your life. He says, and if he's in your life, he's got to straighten you out to get you. You see, Paul thought he was serving God, but he was serving God his way with his expectations in mind. So you got to prepare the way of the Lord. You got to make his path straight. But God says that I have come. That's my purpose of coming, because we live in a crooked world. Amen. We live in a crooked world. Amen. According to Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, it tells us that we live in a crooked world. And it tells us that we ought to be blameless and we ought to be harmless. We're not supposed to be accused of any wrong. Amen. He says that we ought to be the sons of God, and that we ought to be we are in a crooked and perverse nation. Amen. We're in a crooked world. Amen. Have you ever thought about the world being crooked? You live in a crooked world, according to the Bible. Amen. Philippians 2:15 tells us that we're living in a crooked world, and it needs to be straightened out. Amen. It's a crooked world. And he said, we ought to shine as lights in the world. Amen. We are. Are you shining? Ask your neighbor, are you shining? Amen. Amen. We're supposed to shine, according to Philippians 2:15, as lights in a dark world. One version said, we are supposed to be like stars at night in the skies. That's why Christians ought to be in a crooked world, because the world is crooked, and so we light the world up. And we light it up with godliness and with holiness in a world that is not holy. We're to light up the world. We're supposed to shine as lights in the world. Crooked. Amen. We gotta straighten it out. And that's what John the Baptist said in Luke chapter 3, verse 5. He says, I have come, amen, to fill the valleys. Amen. I have come to make the crooked places straight. He said, that's why I came. That was my sole purpose of coming, is to straighten out a crooked world. Amen. Amen. And so the mountains are going to be made low. The valleys are going to be filled. The crooked ways are going to be made straight. And the rough places are going to be made smooth. God says, I got to make a path. Amen. Amen. Because the Bible says that wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Matthew 7:14. Amen. But you got to enter ye in, he said, at the straight gate. Can everybody shout straight? Amen. Amen. That's what he said. You got to enter ye in at the straight gate. God wants us to walk straight, be straight in a crooked world. He wants you and I to be and walk straight. And for that to happen, you must be humble. And how can you be humble? Well, you got to be like a, they asked Jesus one day, he said, which is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? In Matthew 18 and 2. And Jesus went and got a little child, and he set the little child there as an example. He said, except ye be converted and become as a little child, you can't get in. Have you become like a little child before the Lord? Are you bullheaded? Are you humble? Can the Lord use, can he get you to do anything? We're going to get to that. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, you got to be like a little child. You got to be believing like a little child. And that was Paul's problem. Paul's problem was that, amen, he was not able to be used by God because, amen, he had to be humble. He was not humble enough. He was determined to, for God to carry out his will. Paul, yet he was still doing it in verse 3. He already killed a deacon. Amen. In verse 9, chapter 9, verse 1, he's yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. And he went to the high priest and got letters, desired of him letters that if he found any of that way, that he would bring them back bound and put them in Jerusalem in the jail. Paul was rough. But then something happened to Paul. We find out in verse 3 that there was a light that shone all the way from heaven all around him while he was on his way to destroy the Christians. A light was all around Paul. And we find out in verse 4 that he fell to the earth. And we find out in verse 9 that he eventually ended up, amen, amen, had going 3 days without being able to see at all. And verse 8 tells us that they had to lead him around by the hand. Amen. Amen. And so here we find Paul trembling. Amen. The Bible says that he's trembling now. Things have changed. Things have changed around. He says that he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Amen. God had to scare him. You know, a lot of times God can't get what he want out of us. A lot of folk won't act right until tragedy hits. Something that they can't control. And it turns them around. Amen. Something has to happen. God has to sometimes let the heads come down and Satan come in and scare you to death before you get straight. You got to be scared straight. Sometimes you got to put that fear in the hearts of his people. And that's what God is doing. He is putting fear in his people. It's not a fear that he's going to hurt you, but a reverential fear. You may think he's going to hurt you, and you may feel like he may hurt you. Amen. But God put that fear in our hearts, didn't he? Do you fear the Lord? Amen. Do you fear him enough to do what he tells you to do? Amen. And you got the example of a child. Are you humble? And so what Paul did, now he's trembling and he's blind and he don't have anything to eat now and he don't have anything to drink now. And for 3 days, somebody else got to lead him around and he's trembling. Amen. He's scared. Amen. He's scared now. And that's the way God is. That's the way he was with Moses. Sometimes you won't do what God wants you to do, so he got to put fear in your heart. Amen. God had told Moses upon his return from Egypt, amen, he told him that I want you to circumcise your son. And Moses didn't want to do what God told him to do. Amen. He was more concerned about what his wife thought. Zipporah didn't want him. He said, you are a bloody husband. Amen. And we find out in Exodus 4:24 that he didn't want to do it. But the Bible said that God met him in the way to kill him. Amen. You think God will take him out? Have you ever read that where God met Moses when he got back and he was going to meet him in the way to kill him? He caught him making a path somewhere. He was walking somewhere and God met him and he was going to kill him. What was God doing? Putting a fear in his heart. You're going to have to do what I want you to do. And some Christians right now, they won't do what God wanted them to do. And sometimes something has to happen to scare them. And, amen, Israel had the same problem. Amen. God had given Moses the Ten Commandments in Matthew and Exodus 20 and 18 and 19. Exodus 20, and after he had given him the thou shalt nots, and he told him, he was talking to Israel, and they saw the mountain that was in, the mountain was smoking. Amen. They saw the lightning. They saw the thunder. They heard the trumpets blowing. Amen. Like Brother Castaneda was blowing. Here they heard the trumpets blowing. And then they told Moses, we don't want God to talk to us. You talk to God and we'll just listen at you. Let God talk to you and you talk to us. Amen. Because, amen, they got scared because they saw the fire. They saw the smoke. They heard the trumpets. They saw the thunder and the lightning, and God had to let them know that, amen, that it made them nervous. Amen. And then they said that we'll listen to you, Moses. You talk to God, because that guy, amen, he scared us half to death. Amen. And that's what happens. That's what happens to us, is that God has to scare us. God scared Paul, and he scared him. Amen. He scared literally the daylights out of him. Amen. He couldn't even see. Amen. Amen. The Bible tells us that he scared him half to death. But that's the way it is. But some people are stubborn. They don't want to do what God wants them to do. Amen. They don't want to do what God wants them to do. Amen. They won't come out. Amen. They won't do what God wants them to do. God tell you, come out and do what I want you to do. Amen. Come out and serve me. Amen. Amen. Give up. Give up your personal for my will. Come out. Amen. Ali Ali Akuntri. Amen. Come out. Amen. And but some people don't want to give up control of their life. They want to serve God. But then while I'm serving God, I want God to serve me. I really ain't interested. I'm really not interested in the church. I'm not really interested in doing anything. I'm just really need somebody to help me through life. I ain't interested in what I can give God. I'm interested in what God can give me. Is that where God has found you today? Are you more interested in what God can do for you than what you can do for him? Some people don't want to give up control of their life, but amen. And they find out that God is doing something different from them, but they can't make the change. And that's what we find out, is Paul survived the change. He had to have a change in his life to see that God is not doing what you expected him to do. And Paul had to give up the reins of his life, and he had to give up control. But he survived the change. He survived the change. And God told him, he says that I want you to do my will. I want, amen, I want you to say that your wish is my command. God is looking for us to do his will and carry out his wishes. And what we find out is that the only way that's going to happen is sometimes you got to be scared. Amen. You got to be scared into humility. Amen. And sometimes, amen, God is not going to give what he wants until we become humbled. Oh, how many of y'all know that you got to be humble? Amen. And oftentimes we'll say we know that, but we won't do it. We're not humble. We're not humble. We are too strong-willed before the Lord. People, amen, how do you know somebody's not humble? When they won't do what God says. Very simple. We are to carry out the will of God, and that's not going to happen while you on the throne. Amen. God can't get his will done through certain people. Why? Because they are not humble enough to be used by God. God is looking for humility. Because the fact of the matter is, he needs some help. I think about the fact that Paul needs to know that it was all about him. And he needed to be humble because God needed some help. And God told him that, and that's what he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Amen. It's something you want me to do. I want to know, what is it? Amen. What is it? What is it that you want from me? We'll have to answer to God one day. You know what the answer is going to be? Amen. Number one, if you're up there, if you're a Christian, you're already saved, so you already get. But the next thing to do, what did God want you to do at Zion Rest? That's where you were assigned. That's where he should have led you if you joined the church. You ought to want to, if he led you there, you ought to know, now, what is my assignment here? It ain't about Zion Rest. It ain't about the pastor. It ain't about the choir director. It ain't about the deacon. It's about what I'm supposed to be doing for the Lord. And God calls you to work with those he called at that place. He ain't never called nobody to go upset no place and tear it all to pieces. That's not godly. That's hell. That's from hell, the pits of hell. I want to get to that. That's the devil at work. God ain't not calls you to operate on that in that vein. You ought to want to know, what will thou have me to do? Lord, what am I supposed to be doing for you, not them, you? You're the one who I'm serving. You died for them. They didn't. Amen. I want to know what. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I can't get away from it. What wilt thou have me to do? Well, the unemployment line in church is very long. Have we got a witness? Peel potatoes. They won't. And you can't buy God off, by the way. Some people say, well, I put some money in the church. Didn't you see I gave a lot of money? Didn't you see that it ain't really about that? The money and all that stuff that the Lord uses to get his program. He want to know if you carrying out his will. Can you serve? Are you available to teach? Are you being trained to help lighten the load of others who are serving in the church? What are you doing to make a difference? Or you just come and sit? We got a lot of worshipers, but we don't have a lot of workers. It's good to worship on Sunday. Worship at 8 o'clock. Amen. Worship. We don't worship once. Some of us have already worshiped once. We back at another worship service. Amen. People are worship, but they don't like to work. The employment line. The unemployment line. And we don't like. But the fact of the matter is that we want God to serve us. We want God to be gentle on the spot if something happened to our kids. We want God to be gentle on the spot if something happened to our health. We want God to be gentle on the spot if we need a job. We want God to be gentle on the spot, gentle on the spot. But the fact of the matter is that when God won't say, oh, I want you to do something. Well, you know, we get as far away as we possibly can. I'm going to go and I'm going to sit way in the back. And I ain't going to commit to nothing. I'm just going to go and get what I want and get out. I'm not interested in doing no work when there are souls to be saved. And there are a few saints so tired. It's like a lot of people, amen, you go to the football games. A lot of them up there in Dallas now watching these games. Amen. Big bowls that they're having. Amen. And everybody in the stand can tell the players out there on what to do. But they're up there sitting down yelling, do this, do this. And they're out there. Amen. Needing water and everything else. Run up and down the field. It's easy to sit up in the bleachers and tell everybody else, y'all ought to be doing that. Y'all ought to do that. You ought to do that. But God is saying, you get your uniform on and get on the field. Amen. God has not called you to be in charge of your Christian life. He's put a gift in you. You're supposed to be working for him. And you're going to have to answer to it according to Sister Abercrombie. Amen. You know what I said? The rewards are going to be given for those who've been working. Let the works I've done. Well, the truth of the matter is that Jesus asked a very interesting question that you ought not forget in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. You ought to write that down. I mean, Luke 6, 46. He asked a very interesting question. And it's not hard to figure out the answer. But he asked it in Luke 6, 46. And this question was an interesting question, I think. He says, now, I'd like to know something. I wish you'd answer this question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? And you call me Lord twice. It wasn't that you just said Lord. So you must have meant to be calling Lord. You said it twice. You ain't no question about who you're talking to. You know who you're talking to. Lord, Lord. Amen. He said, why do y'all call me that? And you won't do what I ask you to do and do not the things which I say. Why do you call me Lord and you won't obey me? Don't you know what a Lord is? The Lord is the one that's in charge. The Lord is the one giving the orders. The Lord is the one that you're supposed to be obeying. It ain't but one Lord, and that's God. And he says that, but why is it every time I ask you to do something, you're not available? Why ain't you asking your church needing your help and you won't surrender your help to your church? Amen. God says, I got an unemployment line at Zion Rest, and I got work to be done. I got plenty of work. The harvest is plenteous. But the labors are few. And the thing is that what you don't understand is when you do God's work, you'd be shocked as to know how much your work will get done. You'd be shocked to know how many problems you got will go away. Amen. When you get busy doing the Lord's work. But some folk are stubborn. You can't get them to come out. And he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Amen. And we need to be concerned about, amen, carrying out his will. Your wish, what we should say, is my command. Well, you can't get straight. You can't help God out until you get on straight street. Huh? You got to get on the right road. You got to get on the right road. And in verse number 11, God told him, arise and go to straight street. Can everybody shout straight street? Hey, amen. I know where Palisano Trail is. I know where William County. Where is straight street? He said, amen. I want you to, Paul, I'm sending you to straight street because you need to get straightened out. You need to be straightened out. On straight street. Paul, there are two things you need. There are two things you need in at the end of verse 17, Paul. You need your sight back and you need the Spirit. See, religion ain't going to give you the Holy Spirit. That Judaism and all that y'all were doing, waiting on somebody to destroy Caesar, won't give you what you need. You've been blind for 3 days. You can't see nothing. You can't see your hand in front of your face. Your stomach growling. Paul, you better get on straight street. You better straighten up and fly right. So I'm going to send you to straight street. A lot of people, if you're too crooked to do what the Lord wants you to do. Amen. And you got to go down to straight street. You got to start being obedient. Paul went down there and he got baptized. Amen. He got, in verse 18, he got his sight back. He went to straight street. And then he got his strength back. Amen. And then what you do in verse 20, he straightway, which means immediately. He went straightway. He began to preach Christ. He hadn't done it before. At first he was preaching Judaism. But now something done happened. Things done changed on him. Things have turned around. He's got it. He's on the right road now. And he straightway preached Christ. And not the Judaism perspective of Christ, not a Judaistic perspective, but he says, I want you to preach. Well, let me get on out of here. The truth is that God wants to use us, but what he wants to do is he needs some folk that'll do it his way. Have I got a witness? God has not called you to sit soaked and sour in the church and become a pew potato. God has called you to work. Amen. You know, he's funny. God saved us, but he left us here. Why didn't he just take us on to heaven? He said, no, I got something I want you to do down there. Before you get up here, we're going to be up here for zillions of years. Right now, I need folks saved. Right now, Zion Rest needs your help. I need you to work. I need you to serve. I need you to sacrifice. Right now, this is what I need. And I need somebody to carry out my plan. And that's what Paul needed to do. Paul says, Amen. What would thou have me to do? I'm not worried about my brother. What would thou have me? Lord, I know I can't call you Lord if you're not Lord. What will thou have me to do? Amen. We need some what will thou have me to doers in church? Amen. Are you one? Amen. What will thou have me to doers? Amen. Amen. Or we can be like Paul. Or we can be like Isaiah, who says when he found out that he needed. You see, the thing is that God didn't use him until he sent him through a change. God sends us through a change. Paul was not. He didn't just save Paul and send him right on to do the work, but he had to go through some changes. He had to have an experience. He had to get the fear of God in him, and then he got scared straight. Now he's ready to work. Isaiah saw he was grieving the death in his life in Isaiah chapter 6, and we found out that he was grieving and he found his unworthiness. See, somewhere in there, serving the Lord, you got to realize you're unworthy. But he says, what will thou have me to do? And Isaiah said, Lord, here am I. Send me. Have we got a witness? After that angel had touched his lip, amen, he purified his mouth. And then he said, now you're ready. You're ready. You see, there's a lot of folk in church have skipped over that encounter with God. And ain't nothing happened. You got to have that personal encounter with God somewhere back in your history. You got to have that aha moment. That, oh, I need to get saved moment. Something has to happen. You got to have that special period that where something happened. Whatever it is, I want to do it before it's everlasting too late. Go ahead. Preachers and teachers made their appeal, fighting like soldiers. I think I lost my email. On a great battlefield, when to their pleading my poor heart did yield.